of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you.
Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how you can contact us for additional resources or to receive further spiritual help. And now, here's today's message.
Thank you all for that beautiful reminder this morning. I was just wondering, as I was sitting back there hearing that song, I wonder what was on your mind when you were hearing the songs this morning. You know, we have such a struggle, don't we, to push aside all the things of life that demand our attention every waking moment of every day. I do. I have a struggle sometimes to, even when we're here, to discipline myself, to be able to push those things back for even an hour and focus completely on what we're supposed to be doing here. You know, I thought it might be good today, before we come to the Lord's table, for us just to take a moment and just bow our heads and bow our hearts, and just in the quietness of this space that we have, which, you know, this is a gift right here, what we have, a moment like this in this noisy world that we live in. This is a gift. It's just so easy for us to, I think, get up on Sunday morning, and those of you at that stage of life, especially when the kids are small and you're chasing kids all over the house trying to get them ready and get you ready, and you show up here and you're so frazzled by the time you get here that you're not really in a spirit of worship until about the time we say amen, you're dismissed. I heard a pastor say one time, what bothers you more, coming to church with your hair out of place or coming to church with your heart out of place? That one hit me pretty hard. So let's take a minute and just bow our minds and our hearts, our wills before the Lord, and just think about what we're about to do here today. Father, as we quiet our hearts before you, I pray that you would just put a hedge around this place for this hour that we have together. Just close us in, Lord, in a special way, that we would not be distracted by anything else that doesn't have to do with you, but that we would be able to think completely and only about the gift of your Son that was given, that we're focusing on today. And I pray that as we have this time, that we would let go of anything in our life that might be a distraction, a hindrance, as Hebrews says, to lay down any weight that is keeping us from running. And I pray, Lord, in this time that we have, that we would see you clearly, and that we would hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was thinking about sharing with you this morning on Communion Sunday, and by the way, I'm just continue to be grateful to the elders and the other leaders of our church for their encouragement and especially their patience with me as I try to kind of inch my way back up to full-blown sermons, which I'm chomping at the bit to do, but I'm just not there yet, and we've still got a ways to go with all this. So I'm thankful for the opportunity just to kind of get up here and do a mini sermon today. Hopefully it's a mini only in length, not in power. But I want you to know we're still working on this, and we're going to figure it out. So as long as you guys are okay with the way this is at the moment, and we just move on together and do the best we can, then we'll keep doing this and we'll get it figured out. I was thinking about, you know, this being Communion Sunday. If you've never been here before, we've always tried to stay away from just tacking communion onto the end of a service and rushing through it and racing out to lunch. We've always felt just a real need to take a whole Sunday and just focus on the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us and spend a whole service on it. And even that, frankly, is not enough, is it? It's really not. I was thinking about this over the last couple of weeks, and my mind went back to something I saw many years ago on television, a true story from World War II. There was a minister in Poland named Maximilian Kolbe, who was arrested by the Nazis and put into that famous death camp called Auschwitz. He was placed there because he had been showing sympathy to the Jews and giving them food and helping to hide some of them. And during his time in Auschwitz, one of the people he met was a man named Francis Gasovnicek. And during the course of time there in that camp, there was an escape attempt. And the guards had warned what would happen if anyone tried to escape. And they were true to their word. They rounded up the prisoners and they said, "We're going to select 10 of you at random and we're going to put you in a cell and you will die there of starvation and exposure to the elements." And they began choosing 10 prisoners at random, and one of the ones they chose was Gasovnicek. And as they took his arm and pulled him forward, he began pleading and saying again and again, "Please, I have a wife and children. Please, please, I have a wife and children." Kolbe was standing just a few feet away, and he stepped forward and said, "I will take his place." Kolbe was taken with the other 9 to this cell, placed there with no food, no water, no warmth, and he managed to survive until August 14th. NBC News did a story on this many years later, and I remembered seeing Gasovnicek, who had survived Auschwitz and was at the time of the interview 82 years old. And as he spoke to the camera, recalling this event, tears were running down his cheeks, understandably. And he led the cameras out of his little house to the backyard, and there was nothing big, it was just a small marble monument, carefully tended with flowers, and an inscription on the monument that said, "In memory of Maximilian Kolbe, he died in my place." And I remember, I don't remember how many years ago, but I remember watching this, and the last thing that Gasovnicek said was how he lived every day since 1941, 42, when this happened. He had lived every day with in his words, a profound awareness that someone had died in his place. And it made me wonder, out of all the thousands of thoughts that race through our mind every week, are any of them thoughts of remembrance and gratitude that someone died in our place? You know, life gets awfully busy and demanding, doesn't it? Speaking with someone just before the service about all that was going on in their life and their family and the busyness and the pressure of it all. And I said, yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. And as life goes on, there's just more that comes at you and your family, and you feel the weight of that. But I wonder if in the midst of that busyness and that pressure and those ever-increasing demands, do we save space in there to intentionally remember that there was someone who died in our place? Do we live at all with a profound awareness that we should be dead if it weren't for Jesus' death? You see, here's the thing that we need to keep in mind is that the death of Jesus on the cross was not an accidental, meaningless event in history. His death on the cross was a deliberate, intentional choice. He chose to be that sacrifice. Maybe you're here today and you say, sacrifice for what? For whom? Well, you see, the Bible tells us that God had issued a guilty verdict on all of mankind for their sins against Him. That includes you. It includes me. And the death penalty had been decreed against man for their sin against God. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then the news gets even worse. It says the wages or the payment for sin is death. And as judgment was about to fall on us, if you will, as our name was called to step forward for judgment, Jesus stepped in between us and God. And He said, Father, forgive them. I'll take their place. The punishment, the judgment that should have fallen on us fell on Him instead. The guilt that we should have been blamed for, He was blamed for. The death that we should have died, He died instead. What a sacrifice. What love. John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Those words were spoken by Jesus Himself shortly before He went to the cross. He was telling His disciples, you'll never experience greater love than what you're about to experience here soon when I lay my life down for you. What a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. Can you imagine the weight that must have been upon Jesus as He moved towards knowing His death was coming on the cross and all the horrors that He was going to experience that day? See, I hear people tell, well, I wish Jesus would show me the future. No, you don't. Jesus knew all things. He knew the future. He knew what He was going to suffer. You and I don't until we get there. Can you imagine the heaviness, the weight that He was carrying that night before His death as He walked in and sat down to have what we now know as the Last Supper with His disciples for the last time? And can you imagine how desperately He wanted to convey to these men the importance of what was about to take place? Because He knew, on one hand, the unspeakable pain and agony, physically and spiritually, that he was going to endure. But he knew, on the other hand, that his disciples would likely go on in their lives years later and forget what he had done for them. You see, he knew full well how forgetful we are as people. God said in Jeremiah 2:32, these words of absolute heartache. He said, "My people have forgotten me days without number." No wonder that night before the cross, in the Last Supper, no wonder Jesus took time during that meal to say to his disciples, "Remember what I'm going to do for you. Don't forget." We're familiar with the verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting in verse 23, the Apostle Paul writes for us and says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Listen, do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, it says he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Do you hear in his voice, I don't want to say desperation, but could it have been? He knew these guys. He knew what knuckleheads they were. And he knows the same about us, by the way. That we forget. That we get busy with good things. And I wonder if the only time during the week or the month that our thoughts ever remember his sacrifice is today, when we come here and do this. If we've been in church at all, we know what Jesus did for us. But the question for me, at least, for myself, is what will my response be? It's one thing to know what Jesus did, but if we don't respond to that in some way, then it doesn't benefit us any more than knowing that Abraham Lincoln lived. But the sacrifice that Jesus made when he stepped between us and God and took the judgment and the punishment and the sin and the death upon himself, the fact that that occurred ought to have a profound impact on our lives. Has that ever affected you so deeply that it has changed who you are? That it has changed what you're living for? When I think about trying to sum up all of that event and somehow get my mind around that enough to begin to work out what my response to it ought to be, I can't help but think of one of my favorite old hymns that I remember hearing for the first time when I was a little boy. And it's funny, you know, the things we remember and the things we don't. Normally, when I was a kid studying for tests and things, I couldn't remember that stuff, but you remember random things from your life. I remember more than once sitting beside my mom in church when I was a little boy, and when this particular song was sung, I can still clearly remember looking up at her and seeing tears run down her face. as she sang the words of the song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And I thought about that song this week. And, you know, the words of that are, they just capture so beautifully what Jesus did for us. And really, in the last verse, it sums up, for me anyway, my response, everything that my response should be. It says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? People don't write like that anymore, do they? And then the last verse, this is what really gets me. The author of this song was, I think, struggling with what I struggle with. How can I ever verbalize my gratitude and my response to Jesus? And he summed it up this way. He said, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. And what he's saying there, I know it's sort of old language, but what he's saying is, even if I owned all of nature, all of the world, and I gave that to Jesus as a gift, as an offering, he said, all of that even would be an offering too small. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. And then here it is. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.